Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama. Yud Gimel, we're in Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. It is towards the top of the Amud. Chasim Shein Ba Me'ila. Basic halachas regarding Nezik, and that is, when is there liability, when is there no liability? So there is not going to be a liability if your property goes and damages the property of Hekdesh. That's what the Mishnah taught us. Now, the Mishnah didn't say that simply. The Mishnah said it a little bit more nuanced, and so for the first part of today's daf, really most of today's daf, so we're gonna be sitting on that nuance. You look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah writes, and the Gemara quotes it in the heading: "Nechasim she'ein behem mi'ila." Now that's a nuanced way to say kachim. In other words, again, we're going into a world of kachim for today. So everyone, strap in, get ready. So if you want to just say kachim, you could just simply say kachim. But the Mishnah doesn't say it. It says nechasim she'ein behem mi'ila. So for a moment, let's all jump into the world of mi'ila. Mi'ila. What happens if I misappropriate? I take something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash and I make personal usage of it for myself. Okay, like I said time and again, it's called stealing. But when it comes to Hekdesh, so there's another term to describe. It's called Me'ila. Okay, if you've gone through the Masechta, you know that it's not just limited to stealing, meaning even benefiting from it also is going to be a form of Me'ila, even if you don't actually take the item. Regardless, the point is that you are mo'a behektish. Now, the liabilities for being mo'a behektish, if you misappropriate something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, so you have to pay back principal, you have to add another 25%, you have to bring a carbon asham, all well and good. So if I take something that belongs to Hektish and I make usage of it for myself, so that is the isser of me'ila, with all the fallout of me'ila. So far, so good. Now, what the Mishnah is telling us is that if my property does damage to Hektish, so then I'm going to be putter. That's what the Mishnah taught us. But it didn't say the word Hekdesh. It said, Nechasim She'ein Behem Me'ila. So is that the same thing? Are we effectively saying the same thing? So the Gemara now is going to be Medayik in the Mishnah. So Me'ilu Deles Behu HaMikadesh Kadeshe. So the Gemara says, so it's only those things that are not subject to Me'ila, but if it's just Kodesh without Me'ila, so then you would be liable. So if your property does damage too, and I say your property, by the way, I'm not limiting it to your property. In other words, the same halacha would be true if you did the damage. But in other words, but again, the beginning of Baba Kama, we are in the first Mishnah, so our focus is on your property. So if your property does damage to Hekdesh, but it's Hekdesh sans Me'ila. So if it's Hekdesh sans Me'ila, so then you would be liable. That is the nuanced way of reading the Mishnah. It's the deek in the Mishnah. It's a good deek, right? The Mishnah could have easily just said the word kachim. It didn't. It said, Nechasim She'ein Behem Me'ila. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're looking now for a sweet spot. What's something that's Hekdesh, but not subject to Me'ila? Great question. What is that? So Manta, Nam Rav Yochanan B'Kashim Kalim V'Aliba, De Rav Yossi, Galila Damar Manman Balim Hu. So the Gemara, so Rav Yochanan presents that we're talking about Kachim Kalim. Kachim Kalim is Shlamim. And anything that is Shlamim adjacent, we'll talk later about Shlamim adjacent. So Karban Shlamim. And according to Rav Yosef Galili, Rav Yosef Galili says that Shlamim is mamon balim, it is your money. Okay, so we have a sweet spot. And that is that when we are dealing with the Karban Shlamim, according to Rav Yosef Galili, it is your money. According to Rav Yosef Galili, I'll say it now. The Gemara is going to say it in just a few minutes from now. I take a Karban Shlamim and I am Mekadish a woman. Sounds funny. I'm Mekadish a woman with a Karban Shlamim. The Kedusha should work because it's my money.
It's no
Me'ila. Right, and there is no Me'ila, because in other words, that's not misappropriation. Because according to Rav Yosef Galili, that money is yours. Now, this needs to be fine-tuned, and we are fine-tuning it in just a moment. But in other words, but we have now at least think that we have discovered what the Mishnah is opening up ourselves to. You can have a category of carbon, but meanwhile, monetarily, it's yours, and therefore damage done to it, the responsible party has to pay you for those damages. So the Gemara says, De Tanya. Now this idea that Shitas Rav Yosef Galili is of the position that a Karban Shlamim is your money, so it's predicated on a Braisa, Malama Bashem. So here we are at the end of Parshas Vayikra. Pasuk says, I'm reading the full Pasuk, Nefesh Ki Sechata, Malama Bashem, V'chichesh Ba'amiso, B'pikadon. So what do you do? So you were entrusted as a Shomer, and what you did is you denied. So a full denial of what something happened to it, I don't know. And not only did you deny, but you swore. Nishbal Sheker. And so you denied, you swore, and meanwhile, all along, you had it. So under those circumstances, you come forward and you say that here's what happened, right? In other words, the conscience got the best of you. And you step forward and you said, I swore falsely about a pikadna that was entrusted to me. So now all the liabilities, so there's a carbon that's required over there, aside from obviously the fact that you have to make restitution. So fine. Anyway, so this is a shvuas ha-pikadon. Now, lirabos, kachim kalim shehin, mamona divra yosek lili. So now the pasuk says that you were denying somebody else's property. What's included in that? So obviously, and anything that belongs to somebody is included in that. But in addition to that, according to Rav Yosef Glili, it would also include Kashim Kalim. So this is just a brisa that shows us proof positive that Rav Yosef Glili is of the position that Shlamim is Kashim Kalim. So the Gemara says, great. So now, when going back to our Mishnah, so when our Mishnah says that your exemption of liability for damages is for Nechasim She'in Behem Mi'ila, it opens the door just a little bit to for that exemption not to cover shlamim, according to Rav Yosef Glili. Now the Gemara says that we got to fine tune this. So v'hatanan, and we're fine tuning it using a Mishnah, the Mishnah Kedushin, which we did not so long ago. So mekash bechelko, bein bekashim kadoshim, bein bekashim kalim, bein mekudeshes. So the Mishnah in Kedushin says point blank, you attempt to be mekadish a woman. Again, you have to be mekadish with kesef or sheva kesef. So you give her any kind of carbon. The Mishnah says it doesn't matter. Kachim kalim. It don't matter. Eina mikudeshes the kedushin does not take effect because it's not your money. That's the Mishnah in kedushin. Now lema deloka Rabbi Yosef Glili. Now here's what you think you're prepared to tell me. You want to tell me that Mishnah in kedushin, it's a stam Mishnah. Doesn't seem like there's any disagreement on that Mishnah. You want to tell me that Mishnah excludes the viewpoint of Rabbi Yosef Glili? So the Gemara says no. I feel it tamer Rabbi Yosef Glili. Chi amar Rabbi Yosef Glili mechayim. Rav Yosef Glili is of the position that shlamim is your money only when that karban is alive. In other words, the life of a karban. The animal was chulin. You made a commitment. You're going to bring a karban. You are makdish the animal. The animal and let's say we're talking about a karban shlamim. You are makdish the animal as a karban shlamim. Now it has kedusha of a karban shlamim. It is kedushas guf. It's a kedushas a guf. Now what you're going to do is you're going to go to the base of the mikdash. You're going to shecht. You're going to give it over to the kohen. He's going to shecht. He's going to do all the avoda with it. The meat then is going to in turn be given back to you. You're going to eat the meat within the confines of Yerushalayim. Okay, and that was a crash course into Karban Shlamim. And what the Gemara now is presenting is the following. It's true that according to Rav Yosef Glili, a Karban Shlamim is Mamun Baalim, but not through the entire life of a Karban. Only Mechayim. Only from the point you were Makdashit up until the point it was Nikrav. Up until the point that it was offered. Only from that point to that point, is it your money? After Hakrava, it's not your money. Now, that's funny, by the way, because what happens after Hakrava? The vast majority of the meat of the animal is going to be given to you. Parts of it are, in fact, going to be given to the Kohen, that's called Chaz V'Shok. Parts of it are going to go onto the Mizbech, that's called the Imurim. But the vast majority of the meat is going to be given to you, and you're going to be eating that meat. And it's funny, by the way. In other words, hear what we're saying. You're going to be eating that meat, and you know who's the owner of that meat? Not you. Rav Yosef Glili, who told you that the carbon is yours up until the point of Hakrava, after Hakrava, that's not your meat. And the Gemara spells it out. Because after Hakrava, you know what you're doing? You're being invited to dinner by Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's meat. That was a carbon now shechted. And Mishuchan Kavo Kazachu, and you just have the right to be invited and eat off his table. Right? Great imagery. Right, powerful imagery, but the point is that it's not yours after Hakrava. So the Mishnah in Kiddushin that says that you can't be Mekadish a woman using neither Kachi Kachim nor Kachim Kalim, so that's talking about after Hakrava, where even Rav Yosef Glili will tell you it's not yours. And Rav Yosef Glili tells you that you can be Mekadish, that's Mechayim. The Gemara pushes back even on this point as well. Now, is it true? Can Rav Yosef Glili really maintain that a Karban Shlamim, from the point you were Makdashit to the point of Hakrava, you mean to tell me that he's of the position that it's yours? So Hatanan, the Gemara says, consider the following. So we're first going to start with the Mishnah Maaser Sheni. Okay, so this question over here needs a little bit of buildup. So let's start. Let's start with the Mishnah Maaser Sheni Bechor. So when it comes to a Bechor, firstborn animal, that has Kedusha Meirechem, a Bechor categorized under Kachim Kalim, right? It is Shlamim adjacent. So when it comes to Bechor Mocher, no, so Tam Chai Uba Mom. So what you could do is you could sell it. Meaning, what do you do with your Bechor? You give it to a Kohen, first and foremost. Right? It's one of the Matnos Kahuna, one of the 24 Matnos Kahuna. So first and foremost, you give it to a Kohen. What can a Kohen do with it after he's given, after it's given to him? Well, I'll tell you what he's supposed to do with it, meaning it's a carbon. So he's supposed to go to the base of Mikdash, offer it as a carbon, and eat it like a carbon shlamim. That's what you're supposed to do with it. Can the Kohen sell it? Does it have a commercial value to the Kohen? That's what the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni is teaching us, right? One of the first Mishnahs in Maaser Sheni. So, Bechor Mocher Nosa, so the Kohen can sell it. Tam Chai, and Baal Mum Chai Shachud. So if it is Tamim, it's unblemished, so then he can sell it while it's alive. If it's blemished, he can sell it while it's alive, even after Chechted. And Mekachim Bo Seisha. And the Mishnah Maaser Sheni says that you can even be Mekadosh Seisha, the Kohen. Decide that, you know what? Found a nice girl, want to marry her, want to be Mekadosh her, I need Kesef, I need Shava Kesef. Oh, you know what? I have a Bechor. The Mishnah Maaser Sheni says he can be Mekadosh her with that Bechor. Now wait, I told you, build up. So now, the Amar of Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua Lo Shanu Ela Bechor Bizman Azeh. So now, that Mishnah Maaser Sheni is limited, extraordinarily limited. And that is that you can only do that when and only when? Bizman Azeh. Meaning only in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash. Because in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash, what happens to the Bechor? So if you learn the Masechta Bechor, so we all know. And even if you haven't, here's what happens. What happens is the waiting game. In other words, there's no Beis HaMikdash. You can't offer it as a carbon. So now what we're going to do is we're going to have to wait till it gets blemished. It's an unredeemable animal, as Kedusha Saguf. And so the only thing that can be done is a blemish, and then only after it becomes a Baal Mum. And by the way, you can't be Mato Mum. You can't put a blemish on it. It has to happen organically, naturally. So, but once it gets a blemish, then and only then are you allowed to eat it. So the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni that says that a Kohen can be Mekadosh, Rav Nachman explains, is only in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash. Kevin to lo chazel ha-krav, yisro ikonin zechi begavayu. Aval bezman shebeis HaMikdash kayem, chazel ha-krav lo. But bezman Beis HaMikdash, where you can offer it as a carbon, no. It's not your money. Now, this is Rav Nachman, this is Rav Nachman's explanation of the Maaser Sheni. The Ezra, Rav Nachman, now, when Rava hears Rav Nachman's limitation of that Mishnah Maaser Sheni, so Rava jumps on Rav Nachman from the following. I told you, build up. So he jumps on Rav Nachman from the following. And that is Amal Mal Ba'ashem L'Rabbos Kachem Kalim Shein Mamono Divrei, sorry, Shehein Mamono Divrei Yosei Aglili. And Rava says to Rav Nachman, wait 1 second. Meaning, haven't we learned just moments earlier that if you are denying somebody else's property, somebody gave you something of his and you denied it and you swore you didn't have it, and then you came clean. So under those circumstances, you're going to be chayv a carbon, meaning it is included. Sorry, before we get to the included. So there's liability over there for a carbon and for restitution. And Rav Yosei Galili says, it's l'rabbos kachim kalim. It comes to include kachim kalim. So now that pasuk in Vayikra, where we're assigning that according to Rav Yosei Galili, it includes kachim kalim. So is that talking about when there is or there isn't a Beis HaMikdash? Obviously, they're talking about where there is a Beis HaMikdash, because as just mentioned, you have to bring a carbon asha. So that's clearly talking about where there's a Beis HaMikdash. Now, what comes out over here is that according to Rav Yosi HaGlili, so Kachim Kalim is considered your money, even Bizman Beis HaMikdash. So now, what happens is the following. So Rav says to Rav Nachman, I don't understand. You're telling me that the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, that a Bechor is some, that the Bechor is Mammon Kohen, but only after Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's not true. I just showed you, I just proved to you that according to Rav Yosei Aglili, a shlamim is your mamon, even bizman beis hamikdash. Okay, so what's happening over here? What's happening over here is that from Rav's challenge to Rav Nachman, what we got to see is Rav Nachman's viewpoint. In other words, what's Rav Nachman thinking? Rav Nachman's thinking that bizman beis hamikdash, it's not the Kohen's money. The Bechor is not the Kohen's money, and presumably that would extend even to shlamim. A shlamim is not the mamon balim, even according to Rav Yosei Aglili. Okay, so Number one, question number one is Rav Nachman's viewpoint. And Gemara says, and let's pile on. So far we have seen now that according to Rav Nachman, Rav Yosei Glili is of the position that Shlamim is not Mamun Baalim, even according to Rav Yosei Glili. That's point number one. Point number two, Ravina. Umishani Ravina. Ravina says that, look, that Mishnah Maaser Sheni, I'm also going to significantly limit that Mishnah Maaser Sheni. So Ravina says, Bechor Bechutzaretz Valiba, the Rabbi Shimon Da'amar, Imbau Tamim Yikravu, Imbau In Lechatchilalo. Let's say you live outside of Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say you have a Bechor born in your flock. Most likely going to happen. Not most likely. It is going to happen. You have a flock, you're going to have a Bechor. So you're living outside of Eretz Yisrael. So are you supposed to now export your firstborn animals into Eretz Yisrael to be offered as a karban? Best practice is no. Ideally, no. L'chadchila, you shouldn't. Now, b'di'evit, if you happen to ship your animal to the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be offered, but ideally, no. That is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So, Mishnah Maaser Sheni that tells me that if I have a Bechor owned by a Kohen, given to a Kohen, the Kohen can go ahead and be Mekadosh a woman, according to Ravina, extraordinarily limited. Now, note, by the way, that Ravina doesn't give the significant limitation that Rav Nachman does, but that's aside the point. Meaning the point is that Rav Nachman significantly limits that Mishnah Maaser Sheni to a case of, we're talking about a Bechor given to a Kohen in Chutz Aretz, where the best practice is not to send it to the Beit HaMikdash as a Karban. Therefore, under those really limited circumstances, it's Mamon Kohen. Meaning, but outside of that, it's not Mamon Kohen. So V'imi said the Chama Rav Yosei Glili Mamonu Mechayim. Now the Gemara says, now that we have cited the viewpoint of Rav Nachman, we've cited the viewpoint of Ravina. Now, if we went with our original assumption, our original hanacha, that Rav Yosei Glili says that a karban shlamim is yours while it's alive, so the Gemara says, listen, Rav Yosei Glili, ha Rabbanan. So why are the Amoraim, Rav Nachman, Ravina, why are they making themselves and a little bit us crazy? That Mishnah Maaser Sheni, you know what it's talking about? Meaning, why do you have to give these extreme limitations of the Mishnah Maaser Sheni? Just say the following. It seems to be really simple. And that is according to Rav Yosei Glili, a karban shlamim is yours while it's alive. So therefore, the Mishnah Maaser Sheni could be talking about a Bechor while it's alive. Can't it be that simple? And you know why they're not saying that? Because they don't believe that. They think that's not correct. Okay. So we're gonna skip the parentheses. Matnos kahuna kamart. Okay. So the Gemara is answering in defense of Rav Yochanan. Because remember, Rav Yochanan was the one who made this basic distinction of Mechaim and after Akrava. Mechaim, it's yours. After Akrava, it's not yours. The Gemara says, I'm going to defend Rav Yochanan, and the defense will go very simply. Meaning, these questions are all based on the Mishnah Maaser Sheni regarding a Bechor. Now, what is a Bechor? It's not just a shlamim, it's a shlamim / matnos kahuna. So therefore, where does it exist? Its own category. Matnos kahuna kamar, shani matnos kahuna, dechi kazachu, mishochen kavol kazachu. So the Gemara says is that when it comes to matnos kahuna, so that is fundamentally different. When the Kohen is given matnos kahuna to eat, that's mishochen kavol kazachu, and that would be true both after you shechted it and even before it was shechted. Afilu mechayim. So in other words, if you're talking about a standard shlamim in defense of Rav Yochanan, I'll tell you, right, we'll go back to the beginning, that a standard karban shlamim is mamon baalim. It's your money. Again, this is all according to Rav Yosei Glili. It's your mamon, but that's only mechayim. After you shechted, mishochin kavo kazachu. The Mishnah Maaser Sheni that discusses the Bechor, and these Amoraim, Rav Nachman, and Ravina, all twisting themselves into pretzels because of that Mishnah Maaser Sheni. So the Gemara says it's not a problem in Rav Yochanan at all, because that's a Bechor. Bechor, even though it's a Shlamim adjacent, but it's not a Shlamim. It's a Shlamim / Matnos Kahuna, and therefore it operates by its own rules. Notably, it's not your money, period. Even when given to the Kohen, it's not the Kohen's mamon. It's not the Kohen's mamon. It's a karban. And therefore, Mishuchin Gavo Kazachu, the Mishnah says the Kohen can be Mekadosh a woman with it. Okay, so you have to give answers. But in other words, but it's categorically different. Okay, perfect. Okay, Adkan. Start of today's daf already got tricky. I have to admit, we just started. Right? I was going to say 15 minutes in, 20 minutes in. I was just checking my sense of time. Mm-hmm. So 20 minutes into today's daf, and effectively what we're trying to untangle is that really nuanced line of our Mishnah. If my property does damage to Kachim, so then I'm Pater. It's an exemption. I do not have liability. The Gemara wants to know why it is that the Mishnah didn't say that. The Mishnah just simply said, not Kachim, but rather, Nechasim She'ein Bahem Me'ilah. So what we uncovered is there's this very small sweet spot where it could be Kachim, but it's not subject to Me'ilah, i.e. it's Kachim and it's your money. What is Kachim and your money? There's a sheet of Rav Yosef Glili who's of the position that Kar Mishlamim is Mamun Balim. And then what we had to do is we had to fine-tune that position. And that's what we've been doing for the last 15 minutes. Fine-tuning that position. Gufa. We're going to go back. Okay. Shvuos HaPikadon. So what happens was that you were entrusted with an item. And then you turned to the owner and said, sorry. Right? You fabricated some story of what happened with the item. Not true. And then you came clean. Under those circumstances, you have to, and not only did you fabricate, you fabricated and you made a shavua as well. Under those circumstances, so now after coming clean, so now you're liable for a carbon. So gufa mama b'ashem, l'rabbis kachim kalim shem mamon ediv Rav Yosef Glili. So over here, so let's revisit. According to Rav Yosef Glili, even though the carbon asham for shavuos hapikadon is going to be only when denial of private property, but according to Rav Yosef Glili, it's coming to also include Kar Mishlamim as well because it's Mamon Balim. Good. That we covered that already. We know, whenever the Gemara says the word Gufa, it means that we're going to go back to a point that we saw earlier, and we're going to zoom into that point. As we're zooming in, what are we going to see? That there are other opinions on this topic. So Ben Azir says it's coming to include Shlamim, which sounds awfully similar to Rav Yosef Glili. Stay tuned. You know what the Gemara is going to do. The Gemara is going to try to express what the subtle distinction is between those two positions. And Abba Yosef ben Desayu Amar Lo Amar ben Azai Ela Bechor Belvad. So as far as Ben Azai said, when Rav Yosef ben Desayu also quoting Ben Azai, but Ben Azai is extraordinarily limited. It doesn't apply to all Shlamim. It only applies to Bechor. Okay. Amar Mar Ben Azai Amar Lo Rabbis Osa Shlamim Lamute Mai. So the Gemara says, now, I don't understand. Meaning Ben Azai says it's coming to be Mar B'Shlamim. Right, this din of Shavuos HaPikadon is including Shlamim, but that's exactly what Rav Yosef Glili just said. So Lamute Ma'ilim and Lamute Bechor. So if you want to tell me it's excluding a Bechor, Hashta. The Gemara says it can't be excluding a Bechor. There's no way it could be excluding a Bechor. Hashta Ma Shlamim Shetunim Smicha Nisachim Tenufa Chaz Veshok Amart Mamon Balam Hu Bechor Mi Baye. Look, Shlamim behaves much more like a carbon than a Bechor does. Look at the various aspects of a standard carbon shlamim. You have to do the mitzvah of smicha, putting your hands on the animal immediately before shechita. You have to also offer nesachim as well, wine, oil, flour that comes in association with the carbon. Tenufa chaz v'shok, when the kohen receives his portions of the carbon shlamim, so he also has an avoda that he has to do. It's called tenufa. Now, all that's true by a standard shlamim, all that's not true by a bechor. So although I called a bechor earlier this morning a carbon shlamim, but really shlamim adjacent. In other words, it's not your standard shlamim. In fact, all these added mitzvahs that you have by your standard carbon shlamim doesn't exist by a bechor, which effectively tells us that it's a bechor, a bechor is a carbon shlamim, but paling in comparison to your standard carbon shlamim. And the Gemara over here makes the following argument. Let's call it kal v'chomer. And that is, if a carbon shlamim, according to Rav Yosef Glili, is mamon balim, then for sure bechor is mamon balim. So elam Rav Yochanan lamutei meiser. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. When Ben Isaac comes along and says that Larabos is a shlamim, what is he excluding? He's excluding Meister Behema. So Kid Tanya, we learned on the Brisa Bechor or Nemar Lo Sifte. So Nimkar Tam Chai, Balmum Chai Shachot. So like we said already earlier this morning, so when it comes to a Bechor, Cohen is given the Bechor. Cohen can offer it as a carbon. Cohen could also sell it if he wants. It's his. In other words, it's his commodity. However, Meiser Nemar Lo Yigael. But when it comes to Meiser, the Torah says at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Lo Yigael, right? The entire parsha of Meiser Behema is tucked away all the way at the end of Sefer Vayikra. So lo yigael, so einu nimka lo chai v'lo shachal lo tam v'lo ba'amom. So based on a series of drushas, which see Rashi, I'm not going to go through it right now. Based on a series of drushas, Meiser Behema is a non-sellable entity. Meiser Behema has to be offered as a carbon, and you have no rights to sell it. So when Ben Azai said that Shvuos HaBikadam includes Shlamim, L'Rabos is a Shlamim, but includes Shlamim, but leaves out Meiser. And why would it leave out Meiser? Very simple. Because Meiser is not sellable. So Ravina Masnila Seifa, Ravina basically takes the discussion we just had, doesn't apply to Ben Azai, but rather applies it to the next section of the Braisa. Abba Yossi Ben Desai, Omer Lo Amar Ben Azai, Elba Bechor Bevad, Lema'ute Mai. The third opinion in the Braisa is the opinion of Rav Yosef ben Dustai within his understanding of Ben Azai, which is Bechor and only Bechor. Now, Ilem Lamute Shlamim Hashama Bechor, Shekadosh Merechem Mamonohu, Shlamim Mibai. Now, Ben Azai can't possibly be excluding Shlamim. It's untenable. Meaning, a Bechor has so much Kedusha. You can ask, how much Kedusha does it have? It has so much Kedusha, it's Kadosh Merechem. The moment it's born, it has Kedusha. Shlamim did not have a lifetime of Kedusha. Standard Shlamim was born, and then the owner was Makdish it. So a Bechor, which is Kedusha Somei Rechem, is Mamun Balim, according to this viewpoint of Ben Azai. For sure, Shlamim should be. So I'm Rav Yochanan, Lamute Meiser. So Rav Yochanan says, on that, you're right. So in other words, he's not coming to exclude Shlamim, but what he's coming to exclude is Meiser, meaning Meiser Behema. Ki Detanya, we're going to go over this again. Bechor Nemar Lo Zifta Nemkar Tam Chai. Bach, you can't sell Meiser Behema. So the exclusion of Ben Azai, version number two of Ben Azai, the Ben Dustai version of Ben Azai, Abba Yossi Ben Dustai version of Ben Azai, is that it's coming to exclude Meiser Behema, but that's it. Only Meiser Behema, nothing else. So the Gemara says, that's all well and good. Did you read the wording of the Braisa? Ha bebechor bavad kamar. So the Gemara says, it just doesn't fit into the wording. Because read the words. According to Abba Yossi ben Dustai, Ben Azai says that the only thing it's coming to include, and the only thing it's coming to include, is just bechor. Which means that it excludes everything else. It excludes Meiser Behema, but also excludes all other Shlamim as well. Kasha, the Gemara acknowledges, you're right. In other words, what we presented may be reasonable, but certainly textually does not fit into the wording. Okay. Ad Kan, that takes us now through round number one of today's daf. In other words, what did we do so far today? In our Mishnah, there's an exemption where if my property does damage to Kachim, so I'm exempt. Okay. I don't have to pay. In other words, the only time you have liability for damages is only when my property damages private property. But once it damages property of the Beis HaMikdash, i.e. Karbanos, so then I have an exemption of liability. Good. But what the Mishnah did not say is that Nechasim, I'm looking back at the Mishnah for what the Mishnah didn't say. But you understand. In other words, the Mishnah doesn't say Nechasim. What the Mishnah does say is Nechasim She'in Bahem Me'ila. What the Mishnah doesn't just simply say is Nechasim She'im Kachim. Why didn't the Mishnah say that simply? So now, in our first approach of today's daf, because there's a small window, there's a small space where you can have a karban, but it's monetarily yours. What would that be? Shlamim according to Rav Yosei Aglili. Okay, that's the first way we approach our Mishnah. That's the first way we said over the Mishnah. Rava, my nechasim sheim bahem meila, nechasim sheim bahem din meila. So when the Mishnah said nechasim sheim bahem meila, you know what the Mishnah meant by that? The Mishnah was talking categorically. In other words, something that has no Kedusha. Umainihu hejo. And that would be hejo. In other words, it has to be private property. Meaning, Rava basically says, you heard everything we set up until now? Scratch that. Scratch it. In other words, the Mishnah could be read very simply, that the Mishnah just was using a phrase that would include all kachim. Oh. That's all the Mishnah meant. And I know the Mishnah said the word me'ila, nechasim she'in bahem me'ila, but all the Mishnah meant is that things that don't categorically fit in the world of me'ila. Meaning, the Mishnah is just simply telling us that there's a category out there called kachim, and there's an exemption of damages when you damage kachim. That's it. So the Gemara says, good, fine, velisne dehejo. So the Gemara says, if that's from the Mishnah's intent, so I'm wondering, why doesn't the Mishnah say that? So Kasha, the Gemara says, admittedly, that's difficult. But in other words, but according to Rava, in other words, Rava will disagree with the first half of today's daf. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba Shalom Shehiziku, gove mi besarim ve'ino gove mi imorehem. Okay. Now, this next part, this next discussion over here, although at first it's going to look really complicated, it is a little bit complicated, but super interesting. Okay. My car Mishlamim does damage. Okay. So, let's say, for example, that I set aside a carbon shlamim, and so it's an animal, which now has kedushas carbon shlamim, and it's an animal, still a live animal, and it lowered its head, and it did damage. And the damages that we're describing right now is Karen. Okay? So what do we know regarding the damages of Karen? So at this point in the Mestech, we already know that if it's a first-time offense, or second or third, so it is a tam, you pay chatzi nezek, we all know that, and not only do you pay chatzi nezek, but it's migufo, it's going to be capped. The amount of the damages are going to get capped to the value of your carbon shlamin. Okay, so in other words, whatever the damages are, it's going to be half, and that half cannot exceed the value of my animal. So far, so good. Later in the Masechta, not today, but later in the Masechta, when we say that it's capped at your animal, does that mean that we're actually selling the animal that did damage? Or does it just simply mean that we're appraising it and using that appraised value as its cap? We'll talk more about that later in the Masechta. Okay, but right now, here's the point that we're going to be dunning on, and that is that when your shlamim does damages, so now we know that it's capped, and it's capped based on the value of the animal, but it's a carbon shlamim. So now, what's going to happen after you shecht your carbon shlamim? So let's go over there are three recipients, one being the mizbech. It's the mizbech that's going to get the imorim. Two is going to be the Kohen. Kohen's going to get Chaz of Ashok. And three is going to be the Baal, and the Baal is going to get the remainder of the meat, which is going to be the majority of the meat of the animal. Okay. I'm saying this like as if I'm a butcher and I really know. But whatever. I have a good sense. So, your Shlamim now does Nezek. And it does it via Karen. And it's a Tom. So now we're capping the damages. So interesting now. What is included in the cap? What's not included in the cap? Are we going to be capping it based on the meat and the imurim, or the imurim out of the equation? And what the Gemara now is sharing with us is that according to Rabbi Abba, the imurim is out of the equation. Makes sense. The imurim is out of the equation because that's, even though the carbon shlamim is yours, but the imurim is going to the mizbeach. So the imurim can't be accounted for as part of the cap, because that part of the animal is absolutely not yours, regardless of, in other words, let's assume we're within the world of Rav Yossi Aglili.
There's a market value for chulin imorin?
For chulin imorin, yes. In other words, yeah, imorins are, it's a diaphragm, it's a, what's it called? It's a kidneys. Yeah, sure. So pshita, the Gemara says, imorim legavo salke, letzricha legova mi besarim keneged imorim. So the Gemara says, now, at first the Gemara says, isn't that obvious? Meaning, of course they're going to be discounted from the cap, because it's going on to the Mizbeach. The Gemara says, nah. Govim mi b'starim k'neged imurim. It's not as obvious as you thought, because here's the consideration. In other words, appraise the animal with the imurim. Obviously, the imurim are going to go up onto the Mizbeach, but then whatever the appraised value was, the imurim, so take that appraised value of from whatever busser there is, and then pay with the busser of the animal. In other words, what the Gemara is just simply saying is that had Rabbi Abba not said it, what I would have done is appraise the animal with the imurim. That now becomes your cap. And then from that, what are you going to be paying? Obviously only with busser, but not with the imurim. But the imurim are going to be included as part of the appraisal. That's what I would have thought. Rabbi Abba's being mechadesh, that's not true. The imurim are off the table, not part and parcel of the appraisal. So when you're appraising the animal for capping damages, you're appraising it without the imurim. Okay, now, on this point that we just learned together, so the Gemara says, Aliba Daman. Let's introduce a machlokas that we're going to be seeing later in the Masechta. Okay, so fast forward, right? Or flash forward, if you will, to the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Nun Gimel. Gemara and Daf Nun Gimel has the following scenario. Super interesting and a very fundamental debate. I have a tag team Nezek. Tag team Nezek. My animal went ahead and pushed somebody's animal into a third party's pit. Okay. So now, okay, for those of you who remember your wrestling days and tag team wrestling, I should be a little bit more embarrassed, by the way, about how well I remember those days.
I remember those days.
Okay. Okay, I have too many lancemen in this room. Way too many lancemen. So you have tag team Nezek. So my animal pushed Shimon's animal into Levi's pit. Okay, and I'll be roving. Okay, good. So now Shimon obviously wants compensation. So right now there are two seemingly responsible parties, right? In this filing, in this lawsuit, so there are seemingly two defendants, the owner of the shore and the owner of the pit. Okay, so who is the responsible party? Excellent question. Machlokis in the Gemara on Daf Nun Gimel. It's a machlokis between the Chachamim and, the Chachamim and, we're going to see in just a moment, Rabbi Nassan. Okay, now, according to Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Nassan's of the position, so that the Baal Shor is going to be solely responsible. No, I'm sorry. According to Rabbi Nassan, it is going to be joint responsibility. Now, joint responsibility is going to get a little bit complicated because it really depends whether the shor was a tam or whether it was a muad. But right now, just to set everything up, so Rabbi Nassan looks at joint responsibility. And the Chachamim say no. In other words, in that particular case, it's not joint responsibility. It's going to be single responsibility, sole responsibility of the Baal HaShor. Right? In other words, I know that the pit also contributed to the damage, but according to the Chachamim, the shore is the one that pushed. Therefore, the Baal HaShor is going to be the sole responsible party. Good. So Machlokas, we're going to see and talk about later in the Masechta, Daf Nun Gimel. Right? A month from now, a little bit more. Good. So, we are now having a similar discussion. It's not the same, and the Gemara is going to make the distinction in just a moment. But we're having a similar discussion regarding my shlamim animal that does damage. Now, my shlamim animal is a composite. Most of the animal is mine, but then again, there's the imurim. The imurim is off the table. So now, what we are litigating right now is that the imurim have any responsibility, liability to the damages that were done. And we just stated in the name of Rabbi Abba, imurim are off the table. In other words, even though, consider from a physics standpoint, they were definitely part and parcel of the damages. In other words, they contributed weight, which then adds to the force of the damage that was done. But according to Rabbi Abba, the imurim are off the table, even though it's a contributing party to the damages. And now what the Gemara does, it's so good to think about. It's such a nice parallel. It's similar to the case on Nun Gimel, when I have two contributing damagers, and who do I attach a liability to? Both or only the Baal HaShor? And the Gemara says, so our discussion over here almost, I'm going to focus on that word almost parallels the discussion over there. And so the Gemara wants to know, are they connected? Are these two points connected? So Ali b'daman, Ali b'daram rabbanim pshita ha'amrei ki leket la shalmei mehai lo mishalmei mehai. So according to the Chachamim, there's only sole liability. So over here, I'm looking at Basar Nimurim. So those are two different parties, if you will. But according to Chachamim, obviously, sole liability. Single liability. And according to Rabbi Nassan, it is joint liability. So over here, wouldn't he also say it's joint liability of Basar and Imurim? So the Gemara says, Ibai Zema, Rabbi Nassan, Ibai Zema Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, nah. Now, the cases are not the same. They're similar, but they're not the same. So, Hani, Mila Betray Gufe Ava, Bechad Gufe, Mati Amale. I'm sorry, let's start off. Ibai Zema Rabbanan. Okay. Hani, Mila Betray Gufe Ava, Bechad Gufe, Mati Amale, Mikol Hechad Debayin Mishtamana. So, yes, you're right. In the case over there, of shor and boar contributing to the damages, you're right. So the Chachamim will tell you that there is sole liability, single liability. But those are literally two different people and two different entities. The shor and the boar are totally disconnected from one another. The Gemara's terminology, tre gufe. Over here, the basar and the imorim all belong to one animal that did the damage. It's not the same. And he buys him a Rabbi Nassan Hasam who Amarle Bal Ashur Labal Habor Anatura Bibira Ishkachte. My delay shumahminach. And look, Rabbi Nassan will tell you the following. Over there in that tag team effort. So over there, I literally see that the two parties were contributing factors to the damage. In other words, your pit just dropped my animal. Sorry. Let's do that again. You're sure. Just pushed my animal into his pit. So in other words, both contributed to the damages. So therefore, I can go after both. But over here, Avahacha, as we turn to the Amud Beis, Mi Mazi Amar, Basar Azik, Imorim Lo Azik. But over here, are you able to say, yeah, Mi Mazi Amar, Basar Azik, Imorim Lo Azik. Over here, they're totally inseparable. Meaning, Basar and Imurim are coming from the same entity, meaning from that one animal. Okay. So what the Gemara basically says is that look, it was a great attempt. The cases are very similar to one another, but they're not the same, because our cases over here are talking about Imurim and Basar, obviously belonging to a single animal when in fact it did the damage, as opposed to over there. In other words, they were two totally different entities. Okay, Adkan, that starts off our discussion regarding. Where a carbon shlamim does in fact do damage. If I have a carbon shlamim, and we hold like Rav Yosef Galila, that's mamon balam, it's my money, and then it goes in damages. So excuse me. So I have to pay. And again, when we're talking about where it's a tam, I have to pay chatzin ezek migufa. We are now going to be capping it based on the value of the animal. We're capping it based on the value of the animal. Does that include or exclude the imurim? Rabbi Abba says it excludes the imurim because the imurim are off the table. It's not yours. That goes up onto the Mizbeach, and so therefore it excludes the Imurim, and the Gemara spent just the last 5 minutes going over whether or not this is at all connected to the discussion on Nun Gimel in terms of the tag team damages that are done by the Baal HaShor and Baal HaBor. Good. Amar Rava. Tod Shizika. Let's say I have a carbon toda that does damage. Okay, so I just got saved. I just got rescued. Right? The Gemara in Brachos goes over the four different events. Really, it's a Pasuk in Tehillim. Perikuf Zion. I hope I'm right. So anyway, so that goes over four events in which, after you were saved, after you were rescued, so you have to bring a carbon toda. Again, what is a carbon toda? Shlamim adjacent. It's like a shlamim. Not exactly, but it's like a shlamim. So now I have a carbon toda that I set aside, and it does damage. So toda shizika gova mi besar vena gova mi lachma. So again, what do we know? If it does damages via Karen, so now I'm paying half damages, and it's mi gufo. And again, we're capping it based on the value of the animal that does the damage. In this case, it's a carbon toda. So now as we're capping it, so are we including or excluding bread? The Gemara says exclude bread. We all know that when it comes to a carbon toda, so there are 40 loaves of bread that are brought in conjunction with the carbon toda. So over here, the cap is only going on the animal, not on the bread. Now the Gemara says, come on. Lechem shita. So the Gemara says it's obvious, meaning I understand when you bring a carbon toda, it has to be accompanied by bread. But who even for a moment would think that they... Right. In other words, that as far as damages are concerned, as far as capping the damages, so we get to include the bread in terms of capping damages? Gemara says, it's not even a havamina. It's pashut. So lechem pshita. So Gemara says, sefer tzirich lei, ocho basar, umis kaper. So maybe lechem. So the Gemara says I need it for the nizak ochal baser umiskaper maybe lechem. So the as far as the nizak is concerned, so he's going to be eating the bread, and the miskaper, the one who offered the carbon, so he's going to be having to bring the bread, even though he didn't get to eat the meat. In other words, what the first point in terms of the capping of the damages, that was obvious. What's less obvious is the following. If let's say we cap the damages, and let's say the damages met the cap. And so that means now who's going to be eating the carbon toda? You're inviting over the the damaged party, the aggrieved, right? And by the way, just talk about like making peace between people. Good. So now he's going to be sitting down and he's going to be eating carbon toda. And assuming the damages hit the cap, he's going to be eating your entire carbon toda. Now, as far as bread is concerned, so can you turn to the Nizak? Now, I know we just made shalom with one another, but can you turn to the Nizak and say, hey, you know, you're eating the carbon toda. I'm also going to put you on the hook for the 40 loaves of bread. I'm not bringing the 40 loaves of bread. Like, that's absurd. Like, in other words, you're eating the carbon toda and I'm bringing the 40 loaves of bread. That's where we need a chiddush. And the chiddush is, that's absolutely, the mazik is the one who's going to be bringing the lechem. So the Gemara says, Anami Pshita. The Gemara says, still, I'm unimpressed, meaning I think that was obvious also. So, So the Gemara says, okay, I'm just, as a hav, I mean, I'm just explaining to you that here's what I would have thought. That really what the lechem is that lechem is really part and parcel of the carbon. And therefore, if the Nizak is eating the carbon, again, because he's a Nizak and he's entitled to compensation. If the Nizak is eating the carbon, I might have thought that the lechem is such an attachment to the carbon that whoever is eating the carbon is going to be then become the responsible party for the lechem. Again, as a havamina. The maskan, of course, is no. Is that the mazik, who is the one who is bringing the carbon toda, he's the one bringing the lechem, despite the fact that he's not eating the actual carbon toda itself. We're going to do a little bit more for today. Nechasim shein shel b'nei bris. So lemuti ma'i lemuti do v'kochavim haktanu l'kaman. Shor shel yisro shenagach shor shel v'kochavim pater. So tanav hadam mefarish. Our Mishnah says another exemption, and that is that if your animal damages the animal of an akum, so then you are going to be pater. Okay, sensitive topic. And not only is it a sensitive topic, we get to discuss it in more detail later in the Masech, the Daf Lamed Vav, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin. So we're going to be discussing this in more detail. Right now, all I'm just simply going to comment is what the Gemara commented on, and that is, wait one second. Our Mishnah on Daf Tes is telling us a halacha that we're going to be seeing later in the Mishnah on Lamed Zayin, and the Gemara's answer is yeah. In other words, our Mishnah is just kind of the setup. It's the heading, and then later in the Mishnayos and Lamed Zayin, so we're going to be Mefarish. We're just going to explicate it some more. But anyway, that's also an exemption as well. Nechasam amyuchadim lamut emai. Now, in order for me to be liable for damages, so we just went over all the basic exemptions, the exemptions of hektesh, the owner of the aggrieved party. In other words, he has to be a Jew. And then another exemption, and that is going to be that it has to be property which was owned. In other words, you're only going to be liable when the property that you damage, the property that your property damage is owned. So the Gemara says, "Nechasim amichadim lamute mai." So I'm Rav Yehuda lamute lamute ze omer shorcha hizik veze omer shorcha hizik. So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe it's coming to exclude a case in which, let's say, two animals were on the chase, and then we don't really know what happened. In other words, they turned a corner, and then my animal, which is the one that was damaged by one of the animals." But the two animals that were chasing were owned by two different parties. Okay? I don't know which one did the damage. Where does that leave me? Yeah. Right? Right? All of us who know the basic halachas of Mamonos knows. Right? It's Suffolk. We right? So, Hatanan Lakaman. Hi, Yushnaim wrote from Achar Echad, Zeomar Shor Chizik, Zeomar Shor Chizik, Shneim Peturim. Okay? So, we know that this Peturah, right? The Amotim Echaver Lavaraya. The only way I can extract money from you if I know with absolute certainty that you owe me money. If I do not know that, so then I can't collect. So the Gemara says, Taniva hadamefarish. So the Gemara says, you're right. In other words, we're going to learn this later on. What's our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is the heading for what we're going to be learning later on. Great. So, b'masisa tana prat l'nichse hefka. So in a Braisa, so the Braisa understood it a little bit differently. And that is that if my animal does damage to hefker, so I'm exempt. Hopefully everyone right now who's listening and following is going to be thinking the Gemara's next question, which is, hey, chidami, ilem edenagach sur dinan latur dehefker man tavale. Wait one second. If my animal damages an animal that is ownerless, so the Gemara says, okay, I need a mission now to tell me that I'm exempt. Well, who exactly is going to be collecting from me? Ela denagach sur dehefker latur didan. So the Gemara says, okay, a hefker animal did damage to my animal. So the Gemara says, if that's what we're describing, leis of a leise, I got a great idea. That animal was hefker, go take it. In other words, you need compensation for loss. Well, that animal, the animal that did the damage is hefker, help yourself to that animal. So the Gemara says, you know what we're talking about? After the hefker animal did damage to my animal, someone then took possession of it. Ravina Mar, okay, let's pause over here. Okay, you're right, so under those circumstances, when somebody takes ownership of the animal, but the damages were done when that animal was hefker, so you cannot go to the person who was zocha in that animal for compensation of loss. Good. In today's daf, just quick recap. In today's daf, we went over numerous exemptions. The vast majority of today's daf went over the exemption of hektesh. If my animal does damage to hektesh, I'm exempt. And then we flipped it. What if my animal is a carbon shlamim, which according to Rav Yosef Galili is mamon baalim, and my shlamim did damages? So an interesting discussion today regarding we're capping the damages at the based on the guf ashur. Are we capping it including or excluding the imurim? Rabbi Abba says excluding the imurim. So basically now we have a composite of imurim and basar doing damages, similar to the discussion later in the Masechta regarding tag team nezek. And tag team nezek, so are you going to be able to go after one party? Can I go after two parties? Machlok is Rabbi Nassan the Chachamim. Does that impact our discussion over here? The Gemara said no. Then we turned the page. Then we went to the top of Yigimam and Vase, and we went over other very basic exemptions regarding Nezek. Exemptions of, right? I just want to go in the right order. Exemptions of Nechasim, the Nechasim of Goyim, where there you're going to be exempt from having to pay damages. Nechasim Yuchadim, exemptions of where I know who the damager is, as opposed to where I don't know, I either two possible damagers where there I'm unable to collect, and a third exemption of hefker. And then what we had to do is we just simply clarify what does that mean, exemption of hefker. If my animal damaged hefker, obviously I'm going to be exempt. No one's going to take me to court. Where hefker did damage to my animal, just collect the animal. The Gemara says, but if hefker did damage to my animal and then someone was zocha, before I was able to take the animal, someone else was zocha, I can't collect from him.